Standing as we open the Word of God to Jeremiah chapter 20, and we'll take our text from verse 3. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have read these beautiful words from your prophet Jeremiah, that we will seek you and shall find you if we seek you with all our heart. I believe, Father, we're here today seeking with all our heart. As your scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto us. Be with us, Father, as we approach thy word reverently and in humility this morning. And may we walk away here, Father, closer to thee than we've ever been before, and with more love and confidence in your promises, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What a beautiful thought that God has spoken to us by the lips of his prophet Jeremiah. If you would seek him with all our hearts, we will find you. Now, Brother Branham would tell us, if it is in the scripture, then it is thus saith the Lord. In fact, he said in the spoken word's original seed, he said, for it's in the scripture, and it is thus saith the Lord. Now, this morning I would like to examine this thought from God's prophet Jeremiah, because that is exactly what we read in Brother Branham's sermon, Desperation, in the very next paragraph that we will study in this series. From Desperation, paragraph 32, Brother Branham said, now, when you shall seek me with all your heart, then I'll be found. And he promised that he would return and bring the people from scattered all over the earth after those 7 years back into Jerusalem where they left from. And he did it just that way, just like that. And that's right. Brother Branham also said from Israel at the Red Sea, he said, like we was talking of Abraham and how God took Sarah and Abraham, and when they was 100 years old and turned them back to young men and women again and give them this baby, that was kind of hard to see at first, but after you look at the scripture, look down there and find out what taking place, you see it's the truth. In other words, in the scripture, God says to Abraham and Sarah, at this time, a year from now, I will return unto thee the time of life. Now, people would look at that and say, well, I will return unto thee in a year from now. But that didn't happen. In a year from now, they had a baby. I will return unto thee the time of life. Well, the time of life is, as Brother Branham said, 16 to 20 years old. And after they had the baby, they went down to Gerar. I mean, actually, before they had the baby, they went down to Gerar. And the king he lusted after this 9-year-old woman. Well, something happened. Unless the king was crazy. But the same king, when Isaac and his wife, probably 40 years later, this same king saw this young prophet Isaac sporting with his wife Rebecca, and he said, hey, just a minute, I've been through this once. I'm not, you know, fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me. And so he called him out. So Brother Branham said, after you look at the scripture, look down there and find out what's taking place, you see it's the truth. Now what was he doing? He was confirming his word that someday we who turn old and gray and wrinkled, someday we'll spring back to a young man and young woman again. Hallelujah. Amen. I see a few old and gray hairs in here. God gave us life. And we come to maturity, and then death sets in, takes us away. But all that death can do is just take us away, then it's finished. Then all the old doubting part and everything, it's like the man life in there has gone out. Then there's nothing left but perfection. I like that. Because, you know, this body is the doubting part. It's tied to this earth. It's aging. It's getting debilitated in many different ways as we get older. And all that gone, there's nothing left but perfection. I like that. What this body was when it was in perfection, what God intended when it resurrects, and in the resurrection, it'll be perfection. Amen. Oh, when I think of that, my heart just turns flip-flops. Yeah. It's not just a mythical dream. It's thus saith the Lord. God says so, then I'll base my life right there. Yes, sir. God says so. That settles it forever. See? It's settled in the heaven, and if a little piece of heaven is in our heart, it ought to settle it there. That's all. That just makes it all right. God, you said so. I believe it. And that's just all. And that's enough. Now, if God said so, then it is thus saith the Lord. Then if this Bible is a literal word of God, and it was written for our admonition and our correction to bring us righteousness, and you believe that? Then why do we read it as though it's just some book of stories or some book of theology? We should read it as though each thought is God's very own thought to us as an individual. And thus God Himself reveals Himself in the simplicity through His spoken word and through His written word. Then when we see what He said in this Bible, and we see it come to pass, we have God's interpretation of what He meant in His written word. And as Brother Branham said in a sermon, Revelation chapter 4, 24 elders, he said, and when he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, he didn't mean Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He meant just what he said. And when he said, you must be born again, he didn't say you ought to be born again. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He never said, maybe they will. He says what he means. And he's God, and he can't take it back. He knows what's perfect, so he makes it that way, and that's the way he intends it to be, and you have to come up to that. Not him come down to your idea. You got to come up to his idea. That's the difference. And that's the difference between any fivefold ministry and God's vindicated prophet, William Branham. I'll tell you why. Because God's prophet read the Bible, and he believed it exactly as it was written. And we've got too many people today preaching in the pulpits. And they say, well, you have to understand this doctrine in order to understand this. No. All you have to do is fall in love with the author and believe every word that he said. And in his sermon, Christ, Brother Branham said, you're not using your thoughts, you're using his thoughts. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. He didn't say let the mind that was in Christ be in his vindicated prophet only. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. See? Think his way of thinking, say what he says, and confession means to say the same thing. Say. Confess is to confess the same thing. Same. To say the same thing. Because the word confess is from the Greek word homo logio, and logio is word, logos. And homo is the same. Same logos. Now, then don't confess your own mental conception. Be born again and confess his word, confess what he said. That's confession. Say, by his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes. I have a right, by his wounds, right now, I have a right for salvation. I have a right for the Holy Spirit. He promised it to me. He said, it's in you and your children. And them that's far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call, I believe it, it's for any generation. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And he died that he might raise again and be with his church all the way to the end of the world to confirm his word with signs following. How far was that to be? Go ye. Did it end with the apostles? Did it end with William Branham? Mark 16, he said, go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. It's never met there yet. Just about one third of it. God's depending on us. So let's go back to reading it, shall we? Let's open his word daily to our hearts. Let's make it a part of our everyday life. And a part of our children's heritage. Let's not start our day without it. And let's not end our day without reading from it. Let his word, which framed the world, become our Alpha and our Omega. Let's read his word in the morning. And we know what he wants us to do for that day. And let's read his word in the evening. And his word will become our Alpha, our Omega, our beginning, and our end. Because Brother Branham said in his sermon, the spoken word is original seed. He said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ, John 5:19. And Brother Branham took his Bible, he held it up, he said, this is the God book of visions. So all of you can have visions by reading his book. And God can tell you, like he did in John 5:19, he can tell you what to do when you open his book of visions. Let's start our morning that way. Let's end our day that way. And I would like to add, let us be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the firstborn Son of God. Let us also do nothing until we have heard from God. So let us read from his word before we start our day and before we end our evening. Now let us start our days right. And let us end our days right with the word of God upon our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our tongues, and our ears. Then, as Brother Branham said, we will have, thus saith the Lord, or we will keep still. In fact, Brother Branham says the same thing as he continues with his thought, so will the bride. Remember up here, he says, Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first, John 5:19. And then he continues, so will the bride. And he, God, shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed is planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah. Now, here's the secret. The word is in the bride. How's the word going to get in the bride? Unless she hears it, unless she reads it. Brother Branham read this word like no man living. He studied it. He looked at every single thought. Preached the entire message on three words. One sentence. Here. Ye. Him. Brought out another beautiful thought on Jesus wept. Showing us the difference between God and the Son of God. A lot of doctrine came out of that. Jesus wept. A lot of understanding of relationship between Father and Son came out of one sentence, Jesus wept. Or, hear ye him. 18 plus sermons, 26 in all. Hear ye him. Showing that relationship of the firstborn son, of the eldest son, and how he was so conformed to the image of his father. He did everything. He's just the right kind of a son. Three words, hear ye him. So will the bride, and God shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed is planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I've got a great big hallelujah. Now, here's the secret. The word is in the bride, in the mind of Christ, to know what he wants done with the word. You see, she has the Holy Ghost, so when she reads the word, she understands it. That's the mind. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose, and they do only his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them any different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. They. Not singular. They. For it is himself in them. Continuing his word to fulfill as he did, complete in his day all things. When he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not yet time. In Matthew 6:33, we read, Jesus says to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right-wiseness, his doxa, his opinions, his values, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I always never really understood what he means by sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, he says, make no plans without seeking him first. Then all the things shall be established. Don't get ahead of today. Just take each day, one day at a time, and you will enter into an eternal mindset. I'm sure that when we get to the other side, we will not be in a state of thinking what tomorrow will bring. But we'll be in an eternal state of today. Father, what would you have your servant to know? Father, what would you have your servant to do today? Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now the Message Bible puts it this way. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worried about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Remember, that's where neurosis enters. That's what Brother Branham taught us. He said that there's an end-time neurosis. And he said the people are in that condition today because they're worrying about what might happen. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Give your attention, your entire attention, to what God is doing right now. What's He doing in your life right now? What's your relationship with Him right now? And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. He said, take no thought what you shall say in that day, for when the time comes, He'll put it on your lips what to say. The Bible only asks us to walk in the light as He is in the light, as He present tense is in the light. Brother Bram said in a sermon, witness. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, have you ever witnessed that to be the truth? Put God first. Pay your tithes first. Pay everything first. Pay God. Pray first at the morning. Pray all day through the day. Give God the first place in everything, and you'll be a witness. She runs right in. She had two sticks. Now, notice how he swings right into the Shunammite woman. She had two sticks. In the old Oriental way, they used two sticks. It was two sticks crossed like this, and the fire was in the middle. The Indian still uses it, and they move the logs up as they burn, and that was the cross. Christ, where the fire was in the middle, and they took a little of the meal offering, put that ground meal, all ground just the same, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and they poured in the oil, which was the Holy Spirit, and mixed it together, the Holy Spirit and Christ, going to make some kind of a hoe cake, now, a brother, well, amen, and don't think I'm crazy, I'm just religious tonight, alright, notice, make me a little cake first. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then the prophet says to her, she said, well, I'm just going to make my son and I a cake, and we're just going to die. He said, well, before you make yourself one, make me one. She had in her heart a very generous heart. And she said, you know, what's the difference? I'll make him first, and then my son and I will just have a little one. We'll share it, because it doesn't matter if we get a whole cake or we get a half a cake, we're going to die anyway. She was willing to lay aside, well, I want a bigger portion. I want this, I want that. Now listen. As I began to look over the many times Brother Branham quoted this scripture that we just read, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. He always jumps right to Elijah and the widow woman. And that's our example concerning that scripture. In a sermon, Be Certain of God, Brother Branham says, see now, here comes a great lesson. But Elijah said, bake me one first. Oh, what is it there? What a lesson do we learn? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Bake me one first. And she looked and she said, I wonder who that is. She didn't even know who it was. There's something about the man that seems to be different. And he said, make me one first and bring it. And she started in to do what he said. Then she heard that comforting word, and that always comforts, for thus saith the Lord. The barrel will not be empty, nor the cruse run dry, until the day that God sends rain on the earth. Start your morning with thus saith the Lord. End your day with thus saith the Lord. It'll change your attitude on life. It'll change your attitude on going to work. It'll change your attitude on everything. From a sermon, Reaction to an Action, Brother Ram said, then she heard. She started to turn again, and she heard a voice say, but bring me one first. What do we learn here? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. How will I meet it? I can't tell you, but you put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added. But bring me one first. Look, she didn't have to go down and get her last penny. She had to go down and get her last piece of bread. She didn't have to go for this or that, or maybe change doctors or so forth, some little insignificant thing. But she had to go to the only thing that stood between her and death, and her child. Bring me a little cake first in your hand. And I can see her nod her head in obedience. That's what God requires. You get the Word and Spirit mixed together, self-sacrifice and obedience. And when God's prophet says a certain thing to do it, do it. Hold on to it. She bowed her head. Yes, sir. She starts on. Then she heard the sweetest thing that she'd ever heard. That all-sufficient word that all of us listen for. Where there come across that gate the blast from the prophet's voice. It said, "For thus saith the Lord." Amen. That's what we look to hear. "Thus saith the Lord, the barrel will not go empty, or the cruse will not fail until the day that God sends rain on the earth." There it was, amen. When you're going through your trials and tribulations, to hear a word from God, it's all well. All things are going to work together for your good. When I was studying last night, I came across these things, and my eyes began to water up, to know that God never asks us to do anything but what He has our good, our own good, in His mind. Just like parents, they make sacrifices for their children. Grandparents make sacrifices for their children. Sometimes they sacrifice them a night of sleep or a day out. But they do it because they love. Did not God promise in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And then He goes on to tell us, God has everything under control. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His firstborn Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." And as Brother Branham in many places, he said, "You see, we have another one already waiting. What you are here is only a reflection of what you are somewhere else." And then those most comforting words in verse 31. "What shall we then say of these things? If God before us, who can be against us? He despaired not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all." In other words, God already gave us the best thing that He could give us when He gave us His firstborn Son. And He did this for us. "Then how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" If God is willing to give you His best, His firstborn, for your redemption, for your salvation, for your healing, and for your inheritance. Think He's going to hold anything else back? Think He's going to hold your kids, your wife, your lineage back? I don't think so. He gave us a token. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? Is Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or even the sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." So what are you worried about? Whether you're going to make it, whether you're not going to make it, why are you worried about it? Or whether your children are going to make it, or whether they're not going to make it. He promised us in Isaiah. Isaiah 65:23. "They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them." Isaiah 61 verse 9. and their seed shall remain, should be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Isaiah 40:19. Thy seed also has been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour upon him, or water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. Well, you say, well, God don't have grandchildren. No, but his children have children. Do you hear what I said? God don't have grandchildren, but his children have children. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So what are you worried about? Do you think God would destroy one of his own children? And do you think that he would destroy any of his children's children? Even when God made promise to Abraham, he made promise to Abraham and to all his offspring that would come after him. In Genesis 26:4, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thy seed. Genesis 28:14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So having lunch the other day, Brother Don and I, with Brother Collins, he said, Brother Branham told him, he said, you know who the American Indians are? He said, they were a lost tribe of Israel. And in all the nations shall thy seed be blessed. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. You know, sometimes I think that we make enemies of our children because they sin. Job never made his children into his enemies when they sinned. In fact, he really didn't even keep tabs on whether they were sinning or not. But he offered the token for them regardless, not knowing whether they were sinning or not sinning. You see, he loved them as any real father would love his own children. And I can say I love my children, but being a grandfather, I love my children's children as if they were my very own children. Now, I hear people say all the time, and they misunderstand what the prophet of God said, when he said that God don't have grandchildren. Now, that is true, but God has children who have children. And he loves his children just as much as if they were his own children. Because after all, if they are the children of his children, then they are his children's, then they are his children, because after all, they are his seed. Do you understand? When God spoke to Abraham, he said, "And all thy seed shall be blessed." Not only his son Isaac, but in Isaac was Jacob, and in Jacob was 12 sons. And God blessed them and kept blessing on down, on down, on down, on down, on down. And look at the promise to God of our to our children and their children. In Ezekiel 37:25, says, "And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever." Not only your children, but your children's children. Jeremiah 2:9. "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead." In other words, what I'm doing for you, I'm going to do for them. Notice God will not only plead with us, but he will continue to plead with our children and their children all the way down the lineage. Proverbs 17:6. "Children's children are the crown of old men." and the glory of the children are their fathers. Proverbs 13 and 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. In Psalm 128 and 6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. In Psalm 103 and verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. God didn't just deal with his children. His blessings went from lineage to lineage to lineage to lineage. Now this last promise is one to consider, because you will reap what you sow, and your children and your children's children will reap what you sow. In Exodus 34 and 7, the scripture tells us, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. I say, whoa. But remember, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. You see, the blessings and the cursings both work the same way. Paul taught us in Hebrews 7, verse 9, and as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, he paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So God cannot destroy Abraham, that any children that were in his loins could not be destroyed. For why we are not a denomination, Brother Brown says, listen, you young people today, I don't know whether you come to this church or whether you come, you young boys and girls, but did you realize the things that you're doing? If there is another generation, your children will be judged for what you do. Haven't you no respect or decency? You girls that's out there wearing these little old shorts and things around, you know that's reflecting on your daughter. Did you know that your grandmammy was a flapper and your mammy a chorus girl, and that's the reason you're a striptease today? Certainly. What will your children be? Yes, sir. God said he'd visit the iniquity of the parents upon the children and their children's children to three and four generations. And did you realize, my brother, every time that you do that which is right, that'll be visited on your children. Now look here. Let's take Hebrews the 7th chapter. The Bible said, when Melchizedek met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the king, and blessed him, and said, now Levi is talking about paying tithes. Said, Levi had an order from the Lord to receive tithes from his brethren, and Levi who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was yet in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek. And Abraham was in his great-grandfather, and Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Levi, and Levi, father, grandfather, great-grandfather. And while Levi was in the loins of Abraham, the Bible said he paid tithes to Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody tell you that any kind of a move in the world can ever interfere with God's great call. She's moving right on. It was planned back there in the beginning. There ain't enough devils can interfere with his program. So the things that you do, the righteous acts, the righteous living, the righteous self-effacing, in other words, Brother Brown said, eternal life is living for others. That will reflect in your children and your children's children. It goes both ways. There's a dichotomy. And you can understand today why there's so much evil in the world, because look, the parents, the grandparents, etc. But the righteousness of God is becoming more and more and more righteous, because the grandparents and the parents found out. So things that are to be, Brother Brown said, now notice, now in this world that is to come, there is a world to come, just like your birth here. I said, you was prepared. God knew that you'd be here. And now you know even things that your parents done. Now people think that isn't visit from generation to generation, but it is. Over in the book of Hebrews, I believe about the 7th chapter, speaking about Paul there, the writer, as I believe it was speaking on a great event that had taken place with Abraham, and said that he paid tithes of Melchizedek when he was returning from the slaughter of the king. And I said that Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek, coming from the slaughter of the king, and then he recognized that to Levi paying tithes also when he was in the loins of Abraham, his great-great-grandfather, and he visits the sins of the people upon their children from generation to generation that won't keep his word. Again, you have Deuteronomy 28, blessings and cursings. You're blessed if you take heed to the word of God. Then what happens? Your children will be blessed. Your children's children will be blessed on down. But if you don't take heed to the word of God, what happens? You'll be cursed. Your children will be cursed. Your children's children will be cursed. Well, the message wise, that Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him that come from his grandmother, Lois. We find also in the 7th chapter of Hebrews that Paul, speaking on paying tithes, he said, Levi, who had an order from God to receive tithing from his brothers, paid tithes, for he was yet in the loins of Abraham when he met Melchizedek, which was his great-great-grandfather. And it was accounted to him for paying tithes. Your life will impress your children and influence your children by the example that you set before them. And I think it's a good thing that we put every effort that we can before our children as godly parents, make an example and be an example. And from the message, do you now believe, Brother Bram said, now look, now you begin to be germatized as your body in your great-great-grandfather. The germ begin to become active. Did you know that? Why, here, Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of Abraham, his grandfather. Is that right? See? Now, if you germatize in your great-grandfather and come out through your grandfather, down through your father, then in, and that's how that you become germatized for your body. But your spirit, your soul, was made up before the foundations of the world when God made man in his image. Therefore, you could go back to Romans. All that he foreknew, he justified. All that he justified, he has sanctified. All he sanctified, he has, past tense, glorified. Hebrews 7, part 1, Brother Branson. And now, as I may say so, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now, oh, and here's something. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. What? Levi. Abraham was Levi's great-great-grandpa. And the Bible says here that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of Abraham. Four generations before he come to the earth, he was paying tithes to Melchizedek. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Then you can't believe, if you can't believe, then you that can't believe in predestination before ordination, and here four generations before Levi would ever come out of the loins of Abraham, he was paying tithes to Melchizedek. Wish we had time to run that through the scriptures. Again, from faithful Abraham, Brother Brown said, now watch. When they come back, they had a great big jubilee, homecoming time. And there was all the kings around thanking Abraham. And then they met another king, Melchizedek. He was the king of Salem, which was Jerusalem, the king of peace, the king of righteousness. Who was this great king? I want to ask you something. Who was this great king? He did not have any father. He never had any mother. He never had a beginning of days nor ending of life. Who was that king that met Abraham coming home from the slaughter of the kings? And to you people that don't believe in tithe paying, look at this. The Levitical priesthood paid tithes, and the Bible said that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of Abraham, and that was his great-great-grandfather. And when Levi was in the loins of Abraham, when Abraham paid tithes in Melchizedek, the Bible reckoned Levi paying tithes. How ought you people to live if your sins are visited to the children? What about your blessings? Now look, we could go on and on and on concerning this. But I think you understand that I hope that you will go home today and realize that everything you do will reflect somehow upon your children and your children's children. And if you love your children as much as I love my own and my children's children, then you will lay up inheritance for them. And I'm not just talking about material things here, but you will lay up an eternal inheritance that will never perish. And that's a character that is molded into the very image of the firstborn son in a vast family of brothers. As God said to Abraham, as many as the stars in the sky and dust of the earth. And that's a very large, large family. And you'll never be lonely over there, for you will have family everywhere you turn. Hallelujah. And you will long enjoy your inheritance together and all thine offspring with you. This power is in prayer. Gracious Father, I just am so happy, Lord. to see that there's in no way, Father, you would cut off your own lineage. In no way, Father. You have given us scriptures to help us to understand that our children and our children's children will be with us. May we live every day in thanksgiving for what you have promised. Let us not be taken aside by circumstances, as Job didn't even look to see whether his children were sinning or not. He applied the token anyway. And your prophet told us that when God restored his 7 children, he said it was on the other side when he went to meet him. And Father, we know that there will be no more sea in the new earth. That all that places that's covered by water right now will be alive and thriving. And there'll be a place for all your seed, as many as the stars in the heaven. And I'm believing, Father, that we, your children here, we are your seed and our offspring with us. I'm so thankful, Father. And we ask you, Lord, to bless us, bless our children and our children's children. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. A lot to think about. A lot to be thankful for. A lot to rejoice over. What you're saying, I was in his mind before the world was framed. Do we have that in the 22, I think?
I was in his mind before the world were framed. I was in his mind before the was laid. Because